All right, it's 5:30, time to call our December meeting to order of Camden County Commission. If you would, please stand.
Sure, let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, we thank you for the many blessings. Father, we thank you for this wonderful county. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, be good stewards of the things that we've been in charge with. And so we pray your blessings upon our time together. We pray that you bless this meeting, Father, that we would do the right things for the citizens of Camden County. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Commissioner Lefferts, if you would.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here.
Nathan Sanders.
Here.
Karen Ashford.
Here.
Chris Singleton.
Here.
Curtis Storrs.
Here.
Eddie Mears.
Here.
Brent Brandon.
Here.
Randy Mills.
Here.
Chris Owens.
Here.
Andrew
here.
All present.
Range number 5, approved change agenda. If please, Commission, I would like to add a budget amendment for lawyer fees to the agenda, and it will go down to Diane's, where she presents the amendments.
Do we need to add that since it's an amendment and she normally...
Well, I think we do.
Okay. Move to add a budget amendment for the... In the finance department, the... C,
yeah.
And it's for what, lawyer fees?
Yes.
Second.
Got a second? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda with the added.
Okay.
Second.
We got a motion to approve the agenda with added. Second by Commissioner Mears. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Race number 6, consent agenda. Approve the meeting minutes November 3rd, 2022. And approve notary, which we have in our. I've got a motion to you'll approve minutes and notaries of Karen.
Yes.
Second.
Have a second. Second by Attorney George. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Number 7, public comment concerning agenda items. I'll start over here on this side over here. Anybody? What about the middle? Number 1, we'll close the public comment period. Number 8, whole business tabled items, I don't have any. Number 9, resolution number 2022/24, resolution authorizing the filing of a community development block grant food insecurities application as a CDBG dash CB. Amanda Maynard is here with us tonight, and she'll answer any questions you might have about this.
This grant is actually, it goes to help organizations who distribute food to those in need throughout Camden County. It is flowing through the Tennessee Economic and Community Development. It's $500,000 with no match. I don't really know that we will be applying for the full maximum amount, but it will cover items to help food pantries or those organizations that provide food to those in need, such as it's really equipment-related items, refrigerators, ovens, freezers, freezing blankets, even delivery trucks. So something that we've never really had the opportunity to do before, but I think it's really a neat project.
Yes.
I move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Move to approve resolution number 2022-24, seconded by Commissioner Burnett. Is that right? You say?
Yes, sir.
Any discussion?
For you that don't know, there is a shortage of food for families in Cannon County
right now. It is.
Food bank, I know we give out food at church, and so a lot of places, because of food prices, a lot of people are doing without, unfortunately.
I want to say there's no match, and I appreciate Amanda for bringing this forward to us. Anybody else? Call roll, please.
Nathan Lehman.
Yes.
Nathan Sanders.
Yes.
Karen Ashford.
Yes.
Chris Singleton.
Yes.
Curtis George.
Yes.
Eddie Mayer.
Yes.
Bree Brandon.
Yes.
Randy Gannon.
Absolutely, yes.
Crystal Alexander.
Yes.
Tony Burnett.
Yes.
Motion. Well, last.
Thank you,
Matt. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you for doing what you do.
Number 10, Mayor Andy Doug to address the commission. That has been declined. We'll move on to number 11. Discuss vote adding Cannon Place to the county road map. I think we all, if y'all remember correctly, we had split them off because one had one name of the road, which was this change to Cannon Place here, but the other name conflicted with 911. So we had to have another public hearing at the planning commission level and bring it back to the commission for approval.
Motion to add Cannon Place to the Cannon County road map.
Got a motion to add Cannon Place to the county road map. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second by Curtis George. Do I have any discussion?
What was the conflict?
It was the name. What was it, Roy?
Cannon Court, and come to find out,
that was already.
There's one here in town.
That was already Cannon Court.
And I forgot all about it. What we put it on for a motion.
That's Mr. Roy Smith. He's the road. Anybody? All right. Call roll, please.
Nathan Lehman.
Yes.
Nathan Sanders.
Yes.
Karen Ashford.
Yes.
Chris Singleton.
Yes.
Curtis George.
Yes.
Eddie Mayer.
Yes.
Brent Brandon.
Yes.
Randy Gannon.
Yes.
Crystal Alexander.
Yes.
Tony Burnett.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Motion passed. Number 12, consider vote on speed limit for Toy Denny Road to 35 miles per hour. I'll turn that over to you, Commissioner Joe.
Yeah, we have a bad speeding problem. We've already had four wrecks within the past few years. We almost had a four-car pileup week before last. I've been house to house, get petitions signed to have these installed. I've already talked to Wayne. He said if we could get it passed, he'd be glad to get the signs and install them. But we do need them. Everybody on that road says, yes, we need them. We need them.
What's the current speed limit? Does it have
55.
55?
55. If it's not posted, it's 55 anywhere in the county.
Gotcha.
Have you spoken with the Sheriff's Department about coming out to enforce it once the new signs are up?
I have after a couple of these wrecks, and they did come out a few times, but they're spread pretty thin, so I'll have to get with them again if this should pass. And when they're in that area and not on the call, then swing around and we're pretty sure where it's coming from, but it takes somebody like the Sheriff's Department to enforce it.
Make a motion to add speed limit signs of 35 miles an hour on Toy Denny Road.
We got a motion to set speed limit Toy Denny Road 35 miles per hour, add signs to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, sir.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Burnett. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
for the commissioners that's been here, now there was a situation that had occurred a while back where some other residents had came and suggested their road speed limit be changed. And we had suggested to them, they had petitions as well, and we had suggested to them to go to the road commission, I assume that's what we said, and to have them to do it instead of us to vote on it. Am I correct? Do y'all remember that?
No, it has
was that
to be,
Porterfield?
It has to be approved by the commission.
That's correct.
For him to have signs.
It's got to be approved by y'all.
Was that the Porterfield Road? The dump trucks?
Yes, the dump trucks. Yeah.
I think that they were just wanting the speed enforced.
No, they originally started, they wanted no dump trucks.
No dump trucks.
Okay, and you can't.
Okay.
And the commission set the speed limit at...
No, well, it was a speed limit?
35
one? Yeah, 35.
They wanted to ban dump trucks from the period for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure because I don't want anybody coming back with any confusion.
Thank you, Commissioner. You're exactly correct.
Yeah.
In order. I tell you, it's been policy of the county court for as long as I've been on it, and I think Karen will say the same thing as long as she has, that you get signatures on the road, you get everybody signed a piece of paper, and then that's the process, is that right, Commissioner?
Right.
And everybody did sign it.
Yes, sir.
I don't have it with me. I didn't know it was on the agenda for tonight, but I can bring it.
It's going to bring it to me.
She can get it in minutes.
We've got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Megan Loyna.
Yes.
Megan Sager.
Yes.
Karen Ashworth.
Yes.
Chris Singleton.
Yes.
Curtis George.
Yes.
Danny Mayer.
Yes.
Grant Brandon.
Yes.
Randy Gannon.
Yes.
Priscilla Alexander.
Yes.
Tony Burnett.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Number 13, approval of sale Westside Fire Department brush truck. Mr. Larry Powers, that why you're with us tonight?
Yes.
If you would fill us in, please, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Powers, the assistant chief at Westside. We have a brush truck 7603 that we purchased. It's just basically a four-wheel drive Ford older model that we purchased about 4 or 5 years ago. And we've been trying to get this thing fixed up as a brush truck. However, it's not working out for us. We finally got to the point where we said, okay, we're not going to sink any more money into this thing. And so we found a mini pumper, which we're going to use as a brush truck. It's a four-wheel drive. It's a fire apparatus. It's made for putting out brush fires. And we have purchased this. And so what I'm asking for you guys tonight is, since the Westside Fire Auxiliary bought the initial 7603 truck, with the sale of it, that we would get that money back, put back into our account to help pay for the mini pump.
I move that we approve the sale of the brush truck with the proceeds to go towards the purchase of the replacement truck.
Thank you.
Yep.
No, second.
Can I ask, was this discussed at the Fire Board meeting tonight? Because I had to miss that one.
I don't know if there's a discussion. I don't recall it being discussed, no.
I don't know.
If I'm, and the chief, Bagley, mm-hmm. he contacted me about it and gave me a rundown. It's just like you said, the other one just isn't working out. It's turned into a money pit. You know, Auxiliary Fire purchases these trucks, and then once it's purchased, they give it to the county mm-hmm. with the title. And so that's why they're having to come before us, is because we technically own the truck. But I talked with Mr. Bagley about it, and everything seems on the up and up. They're just trying to get a replacement because we don't have a lot of brush trucks, and it's dry season. You want that.
Any more? Anybody else? Got a motion, second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you, Mr. Blair. Discuss vote on commission meeting time. This has been brought forward, and I missed it last time. But I'm sorry I didn't get it done, but a lot of people have had a lot of trouble being here at 5:30 for workout time. I understand that. I think we there's some won't have a discussion about that, and so Let's discuss it.
What time? Six thirty?
Six, everybody get here timely at six. I move that we move the meetings to 6 p.m.
Second.
Got a motion to move the county commission meetings to 6 p.m. That affords folks a little time to get here to South Town. I think that's in order. Since we're not here hardly as long as we used to be. Thank goodness. any discussion on that? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. Number 15, Chris Wilding. Mr. Wilding is going to give us a jail update.
I will.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. you have my report in your packet that I sent out 2 weeks ago. Because this is the first time I'm addressing the commission, I'll take this a little bit longer, but I'll still make it brief. Back in July of 2022, I was hired by the county commission to evaluate your system, your judicial system, through the jail. It is a system review as with a goal of presenting a plan to give you options for making your system constitutional. And there'll be many people involved in it, county leadership, jail administration, the court officials, auxiliary agencies, probation, TCI, Tennessee Corrections Institute, Center for Technical Assistance, citizens, business leaders. Just a little bit about me. I've got over 30 years in criminal justice in various roles. I spent my first 10 years in criminal justice within the Department of Corrections. They were under a class action lawsuit, and it was one of the largest in the country at that time, probably still is. Took almost $500 million to resolve it. My role was liaison with the special master and his team for operational issues, and it took the department almost a decade to resolve that issue. Now, I'm not saying that you are anywhere near that, but, and then go on, you have been decertified for a decade now. Because you're decertified, every year you get an inspection and a re-inspection by the Tennessee Corrections Institute. So now you have a decade's worth of records showing that you're basically not being certified means that you are not meeting minimal constitutional standards, and that's just minimal. And this could very easily, if you had an incident, a serious incident, and someone sued you, the people that are here normally to help you, which is TCI, become the number one witness for the prosecution, because they are the ones that have a decades long of where they have tried to work with the county, and it's fallen flat. I also want to mention that I have been a Cannon County resident since 2008. So my initial interest in this was really as a citizen seeing how it's a lot less expensive to resolve these issues before the court tells you to resolve them. As I said, the overview of the status, you've been decertified for a decade. And that is not just the jail. The jail doesn't decide who comes. That is the court system putting people in jail. That's probation, revoking probation. So there's a lot of moving parts, but the people end up in the jail, and it's the jail that is what is being certified or not certified. Give just a little history. As far back as the paperwork that I can see, 2014, there was an assessment done at the request of the county commission at that time. It was done by CTAS, and it came in draft form to the commission, and it didn't go anywhere. So to this day, it remains in draft form, and it is now, the date is now old. CTAS has agreed to do another needs assessment as long as there is county support for it, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Then back in 2019, there was renewed interest by the county commission, and TCI and CTAS came back, talked, and I understand what happened. If you have no criminal justice background, you don't want to understand how the sausage is made. You just want results. You want to know what is it going to take us, what's going to cost, so we can say yes or no. And I think everybody had some great intentions, but it just once again never got off the ground. So, according to the CTAS and TCI report, two things that I think is interesting to mention is that you have an extremely high probation revocation rate, which is from across the state. Second is you have a 90% recidivism rate. 90% is rare nowadays. In the last thing, and I'm going to ask Nathan to talk about
Ms.
that.
Ms. Patricia, explain that 90%.
90% of the people that come in the jail will come back. So, okay. Now some of those people might come back two or three times, but especially in a jail situation, you want it to be 25% of that. I mean, these are not, people that stay in jail usually have below 6 years of your sentence. Sometimes it just depends on what their offense is, but these are not your hardened criminals that end up in prison. And recidivism, if the right programs are available, should not be 90%.
So you're talking about rehabilitation?
Some of it's rehabilitation, absolutely. And I think, again, my first tour to the jail was I asked Nathan to go along. I know Nathan because we served on the zoning board together, and he's a lawyer, and I knew that he would be able to answer some of the questions from the judicial side of this, and I had been told that there were 1,345 outstanding warrants at that time, and so Nathan agreed, which is a big job to do, to look at them to see how many of them are really valid, because in the last needs assessment, those outstanding warrants were not taken into consideration when they were recommending how many beds for you to have. I was not comfortable with that continuing, because if 1,300 were truly people that would spend time in the jail, that have to be taken into consideration. So if you want to just give a quick update about what we talked about?
Well, a couple of PR things first. I know nobody here could, you know, the narrative, you could care less how comfortable the jail is. I agree, but let's also remember this is a county jail. These are usually, you know, cousins, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. These aren't, you know, we're not housing Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy, okay? And second, there are constitutional minimums, and the jail is decertified, and that is a major problem because a lot of people look at it as, well, if we get sued, it's fine. It's what we got insurance for. Well, number one, federal court doesn't have a cap on punitive damages. That's number one. Number two, if we get damages beyond our insurance limit, then it's going to hit our budget. And Mr. Fagan, who's not here, but our county attorney, will tell you he loses sleep at night over this. Because if we get sued and we're unsuccessful, you might as well roll the streets up and everybody might as well find something else to do, you know, once a month instead of coming to a commission meeting. Because it'll be bad. Because it's been, and it's not one of those things either, guys, where we can certify it by making a few adjustments. That jail, according to conversations with Mr. Bass and Mr. Hart, that jail is not certifiable in its current form. It cannot be certified in its current form. It can be used for another building, but the way the jail is built, because it's over 30 years old and things have changed, but the way it is in its current form, you can't certify it. You can't add some brick and mortar and some paint. So something that's going to have to be on this commission's radar, either the easy way, which is getting ahead of it, or the hard way, which is getting behind it, is that we're going to need a new jail. It's not if. It's when, and it's up to us as a group to decide to make those hard decisions. That's why we're here.
It's now.
Yeah. And
I took a tour of the jail. I worked in corrections. Like, that jail is going to get this county in trouble, period.
100%. And there are 1,345, well, on paper. So they have a sheet that they print out that shows you all the outstanding warrants, capiases, all that. I've been going through the list. I'm through H in the alphabet. free of charge, going through the list and looking through what's a redundancy in the system, what's something that we can address. Our general sessions judge, Judge Cowan, is on board, and the state assistant district attorney is on board with revisiting some of these cases. Like, for example, there was a capias from a case in 2005, and it was a capias for failure to appear on driving without a license. Anybody in law enforcement knows that's 30 days. Why is it still sitting there 17 years later? It's something that just needs to be rooted out of the system. And then there are some redundancies. We've got about, out of that 1,300, we've knocked out a little over 100 that were redundancies where when they switched systems, everything didn't translate over. And so you have to go through manually and see, all right, there's John Doe on the list here. Why don't I see John Doe's warrant in this file? Okay, jail administrator person, can you look and see why? Oh, it's because they were actually served. It just didn't transfer over in the system. So we've got to have an accurate accounting of how many actual outstanding warrants we have as well. But it is data that should be taken into consideration. As far as the recidivism rate, there's a lot of reasons why it's so high. And I think that number will go down going forward. But I've got my own reasons why I think that are my own reasons. But it's something that I think we've got the commission that we need to be proactive on this and do what needs to be done. So I just appreciate y'all keeping that in the back of your mind going forward as we deal with this.
I'd like to say, too, after going over and seeing the jail, you know, this isn't on the sheriff, you know, and working in corrections, you know, buildings are not adequate after, you know, a very few amount of years. Inmates are harder on a building than any child is harder on any toy or anything else. They're there to tear things up. And it does not matter how much you punish them, it doesn't matter what you do to them, you're not going to win that battle. An inmate is in that room the entire day. They are going to tear up things. It is going to cost money, and you're going to stick a Band-Aid on it 100 times. And that's just the condition the building has gotten in over there.
It's their job to get out.
Well,
that's the way they think.
Point that inmates are in there. There were two guys in Max when we were there. I don't really know if they're classified as Max because they don't have a classification system, which is very dangerous. Because when guys come in prison, it doesn't really matter what their violation is. You need to look at their background, and then they're classified. Who can they be with? Who can they not be with? And there is no classification plan. And one of the things that we're going to look at is, do they have to be in their cell 23 out of 24 hours a day? That's a lot. And that will lend itself to a lot of problems, and violent problems. So where we stand right now, I came on board at the end of July. TCI, Tennessee Corrections Institute, asked that they not get back involved until the new county commissioner was elected and the new chairman of the county commission and the county executive agreed that they were going to support this evaluation. So as soon as Greg was able to see the light of day in September, he wrote the letter. So nothing really happened in August. We've been collecting some background data on the jail. I'd like to tell you that from TCI, I'd like to say that it's been easy. It hasn't been as easy, and that's not the jail's problem, that's the state's problem. I talked about Nathan's and my tour of the jail, and then County Executive Mitchell convened a meeting of the Community Corrections Advisory Board and the Law Enforcement Committee. They took a tour of the jail and then had a meeting, and the purpose of that was to get approval to start a needs assessment. And I see as the next step for this commission, and both of those committees approved unanimously to have CTAS start the needs assessment. He plans on starting it this month. It's going to take a couple of months probably. The next step for this group is for me to bring that needs assessment to you. There's one thing I can tell you about that needs assessment. It's long. It'll be very important for us to spend some time, for you to read it before the meeting, you to call me if you have any questions before the meeting, because that is what's going to kick off the next step, which will be to start master planning of a jail. Now, we're going to use the go, no-go. So far, the only money that's been spent is anything that I have charged. The needs assessment is from a public agency, so there won't be a charge for that. The master plan will be, it won't be done by TCI, but they will oversee that it is done correctly. And it's going to have a lot of involvement from people from the jail. So the first time that this group is going to have to put a stamp of approval on some large dollar items is when architectural design say okay. But even after that's done, and you have the price tag, but prior to doing all that, I'll be working with the judge. I'll be working with the DA. I will be working with probation. I will be working with community corrections to see if there anything we can do so that people don't have to come into the jail. Do we have diversion programs? But if they're in the jail, do we have the right beds? Do we have, what it takes to get in the jail? It's probably one of the, for 2022, it's probably one of the worst correctional institutions I've ever been in.
And that is not on the sheriff, as Chris said. It has nothing to do with the sheriff. You can't make a building not be how it shouldn't be.
So. My report will have nothing to do with people as far as personal performance. That's not what I'm here for. I may make recommendations on continuing violations in the TCI reports that say this needs to be taken into consideration because you can build a... And right now they're estimating that the square footage of a rebuild on a jail is about $600 a square foot. Back in 2014, it was about $235. So...
Which is what happens when you don't take action.
So, at this particular point, the needs assessment is being done. That'll be the next time you see me will be when we have that report. But please ask me any questions tonight if you have any, or if you think of any afterwards. I've worked with these two gentlemen here on Planning Commission, Zoning Board. I try to be, and you too. I try to be as absolutely responsive as I can, and if I don't know the answer to the question, I'll get it for you. You and I were on the Zoning Subcommittee together, so I do have some history with people here. But my goal is to be able to present you with a plan that the jail people agree with, the court system agrees with, to say we're all going to work together. Here's the price tag.
Thank you, ma'am.
Would TCI be given the recommendation on the size of the jail or the amount of beds it would have?
That's based on the needs assessment.
Okay.
And the one thing that I was uncomfortable with the last needs assessment was this. We had at that time 625 unserved warrants that were not taken into consideration. At that time, they said they recommended 104 beds. Now, our population is actually gone up higher than what their projections were. So I can't tell you about beds right now, but I know there's a number of 150 floating around. I have no idea where that came from.
So the higher that goes, that will increase the need for beds by the time the inspection comes around?
Absolutely.
Wow.
But also our jail has an issue with, like Chris was saying, with classifications, because there's some people that need to be in medical, and there's some that just need to be in holding cells because they're getting out soon. There's some that are on suicide watch. There are some that are in protective custody.
There's a lot of different classifications of inmates.
And there's nowhere to put them now. So they
cannot be housed with others for just safety concerns. They would have to be housed by themselves. You know, so in your jail setting, you're going to have multiple.
But in your personal opinion, based on, like you said, the using different diversion methods to keep people out of the jail, would it be necessary to build a large jail facility in Cambridge County?
I don't really want to go on the record right now even talking about the number of bids. I do know that the last needs assessment said 104, but that's old data. If we are able to address some offenses, some people that are appropriate for diversion programs, that's really the court system. But they have been, like I said, the DA and the judge were there at the meeting on the 10th. They toured the jail, they stayed, they voted. That really is a good sign that people are understanding that we have to start talking. But as you said, and I can imagine in the, you know, there's where you get yourself into big trouble is if you have people that are closer to maximum security. You really shouldn't have any maximum security in a jail. But, I mean, you might have close custody, which is right under that, but protective custody is a big thing, and people can be victimized. You have got to have protective custody cells to get the victims away from the victimizers. And we don't have that now.
It's
41, I think.
It's not even 50. If I'm not mistaken, this jail exists because of a lawsuit. I remember.
Yep. Well, I don't want the new one.
And we don't need that again. And I get that. My question is are we doing anything to rehabilitate people now?
In my very limited, from what I've seen and what I've talked to, and I'll just tell you a short story. My last stint in corrections was I ran an organization called TriCor. TriCor was an organization whose sole mission was to prepare men and women for release after prison. And we did it through jobs. We were getting a lot of pressure from Darren Hall in Nashville to start because we held the national certification. So you couldn't have this kind of program in a jail unless we ran it. And Darren Hall was giving me a lot of pressure to start one in their jail. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to start one, I'm going to start one here. Didn't really know much about the jail at that time. And when I called to find out, talked to the sheriff to find out, I was like, whoa. There's nothing. I mean, there are no programs, and there still are no programs.
Could that
nothing.
Be part of our recidivism?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's no, like, if you're talking about programs in the jail, right?
There's nowhere to do it.
There's nowhere to do it, exactly, because well, they just had to toss the library, which is fun, because it's not really a library that the
library is a large closet.
The library is a large closet, and the TCA's in there from, like, 1810.
Yeah.
And so... And then they just had to toss the library and empty out all the books and toss the shelves because inmates were hiding contraband in the books. So, and because of the way that it's set up, you can't watch them when they're in the library.
If we're in this position and it's this dire, and I believe it is, I've been in that jail many, many times, and I know the situation, should we be farming some of our prisoners out of there to prevent lawsuits?
According to the sheriff, he's already doing that with Crawford County. Anybody who's questionable, who's a violent risk or even medical, they're not even taking them.
I just want us to minimize any kind of liabilities that we can.
Absolutely.
But when we do that as a county, as a sheriff's department, when you send an inmate somewhere else, you know, you're still financially responsible for them. So just sending somebody to another county.
But they're not in a jail.
Yeah.
Not certified.
They're not here.
All that means is if you're sued, you're going to be a co-defendant.
Yeah.
And the big ones get sued just like the little ones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Usually more.
Just, yeah. You know, the solution isn't just ship inmates somewhere else.
Well, it's not a solution.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I know what you're saying. Just kind of clarifying for everybody else.
And he and his deputy and the new jail administrator have all said, and I haven't looked at the records, but then that'll be part of the needs assessment, that's already being done.
Good.
Is there any way to, as you can see, I think you've got a lot of support here, is there any way to fast track that needs assessment?
I actually, when he said it would be 90 days, I was surprised it was going to be that quick.
Me too.
Yeah, it's thorough. It's going to give us everything we need to say, are we ready to go to the next step? Because there's some pretty big issues here, and that is that Dale's currently in a floodplain. She, you know, and Jonathan Fagan's not here, but if he were, he'd tell you what he thinks about that. I mean, there's just a lot of legal issues. So, but from the time you start planning your jail to the time you open the door, TCI says it's going to be about 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they told us at the meeting. Was it takes minimum, about that long? Yeah. Minimum 3 years to get it started.
I don't believe in reinventing the wheel, and there's several of us that want to go. Look, it's, I think if there's other jails out there that are similar to what we need, we don't have to start from scratch. I mean, state of Tennessee, when they build prototypicals now. You know, you spend all your architectural dollars up front in one, and then you build another one just like it and another one. There's no reason why we can't locate a jail that serves similar population to Cannon County and try and replicate it. And that will help speed it up a little bit.
I'm working on getting us a tour to Warren.
About Trousdale. I don't know much about Trousdale, but I think that's one.
He said they had just built a jail, and that would be comparable to the size of our county.
Mm-hmm. There. And I've been in the Warren County Jail as a judicial commissioner, and as a judicial commissioner, and it's set up very well, and we could replicate that, but on a much smaller scale, or on a smaller scale, because in Warren County, I think they have at least 2011. It was like 200 inmates. So you could scale it down, but the way that it's set up, you can see everything. Like the jail right now, the one here, man, it's rough. It's tough.
Operationally, your operations should be fairly similar.
Yeah.
You know, security is security. It doesn't matter if you're in a jail that has 40 people or a jail that has 200.
Right.
There are things you do and there are things you don't do. There's a way you build insecurity so you have fewer staff.
Yeah.
Our staff are not safe now. I just want to let you know that. This is not just about the inmates. The staff.
The staff are not safe.
Our staff is not safe.
The corrections officers are not safe at that place.
That's why you can't keep them.
That's one of the reasons you can't. It's not safe. A lot of times they don't get severely injured because the inmates decide to behave. But if they really wanted to take that jail, they could.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Ms. Wyden and Mr. Collins. Thank you so much for that update. I think everybody coming for the tour that we did at the jail and looking at it, taking part of it. And I appreciate Judge Cowan. He's here tonight, and me and him worked out a good community correction program. And that's working good so far, and I appreciate it. And Mr. Leonard, thank you for the research. Judge Cowan, you heard him say no charge. All right. We'll move 16, approve 23-24 budget calendar.
Is there anything different from this?
No, it's the same thing that's happened every year. We just changed the date.
Just the date?
Yeah.
Move to approve the 23-24 budget calendar.
Got a motion to approve the 23-24 budget calendar. Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a second. Mr. George, do I have any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. I'll turn it over to Diane in the finance department.
Okay, so we have two budget amendments.
It's BA 22/23-5, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just moving money in lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make the motion to approve resolution BA 22/23-5.
Second.
Got a motion to approve resolution BA 22/23-5. Got a second. Do I have any discussion?
The Sheriff's Department, the money they have kept received on the contract, so that's not really money, but that was revenue coming in.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
is the one that was added for legal purposes.
I move to approve BA 2223-6.
Got a motion to approve resolution BA 22/23-6. Do I have a second?
Second.
That second, Commissioner Burnett?
Yes.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Financial updates, you have a file balance in your
Question.
Any questions?
House Bill 2542. I've seen this was in the packet. Is this in here by mistake or?
That was where I got the money.
Okay. Just showing. Okay.
Any questions? I'll entertain.
Move to adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn. Have a second.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you.